Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
Hi, everyone. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to tell you about another Lemonada podcast I think you're going to love. It's called Burnout, and Burnout is a new four-part series hosted by YouTube sensation and mental health advocate Connor Franta. What do people mean when they say they're burned out? You hear about burnout from your friends, and you felt it in your gut. There are books about it and breaking news headlines, but what exactly is this phenomenon that's making us miserable and wrecking our health? Burnout has recently become the internet's favorite buzzword and diagnosis for why we hate our jobs, but it has a long, complex history that's rooted in our culture and systems. Let's talk about the who, the what, where, when, and why of burnout and how we, as a culture, can work to combat it. Search for Burnout wherever you get your podcasts and make sure you subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, your weekly dose of pop culture, celebrity missteps, and public apologies. And this week, I had to call a lot of customer service numbers and easily spent 4 to 6 hours on hold.
And I'm Mohamed El-Sheikhi, and I'll say that I'm very glad I do not work in customer service anymore. So that's great.
And my name is Oha Lopez, and this week I am soaking left and right. I am in water, fully just drenched, soaked, wet, up and down, rot through, and I'm just so happy. I'm in a pool. I hope that was clear.
I thought you were drowning at first.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I thought you needed help.
I cannot hear the word soaking and think the same ever since I've gotten really into learning about Mormon culture from like just TikTok and stuff. Like there was that like LuLaRoe documentary, and there was a lot of TikToks, and people talked about how in Mormon colleges there was this thing called soaking. Have you heard of it?
No, what is it?
It's basically, apparently it's a way that they maintain their, their virtue by the member going into the lady parts and just sitting there. They call it soaking.
Wow.
And by not having like forward and backward motions, they remain virtuous, is my understanding.
Got it.
One thing, I'm sure the founder of Mormonism that never thought in his life would hear, I have learned so much about Mormonism from TikTok.
Yeah,
I don't think that was, but also that soaking thing is just like one of those things where like people like start like inventing like loopholes in their own like religion, and
yeah,
I'm just like,
yeah,
just do the thing. Who do you think you're tricking? like blonde haired, green eyed Mormon Jesus is not buying this. He's looking at this and he's like, just fuck. What is this?
Just do it.
Just go for it.
Yeah, or you could try lesbianism, which many people say is not sex. I don't know. You have many options. So I just started watching Under the Banner of Heaven. It's Andrew Garfield's new TV show. Have y'all seen this? And it is my first foray into Mormonism. I don't think I knew very much about it, but
well, it's like, yeah, part of the, it's like the subsect, the LDS, right? Which is like a particular right. sect. And like, just the fact that it was based on a true story, I was all into it, but I'll admit, like, it's a little slow for me and I love me some true crime. I was having mm-hmm. trouble.
I'm just fascinated by Andrew Garfield's, guess what, American accent. I was very much channeling Mahanid's accent. Let's call it a fetish. And I was just very delighted and surprised to hear him do his accent in American. Although I guess that's 90% of his movies, really.
I'll say this, you know, I'll just talking about accents, okay? Mm-hmm. I think British people do a good American accent. When Americans try to do a British accent, it's always a catastrophe. it's always the worst thing you'd ever hear in your life. It's all like "Oi, governor" kind of thing.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I think it's not a two-way street. It's a one-way street. I think British people should do American accent, but with one condition, is that they tell me they're British first. I don't like to be tricked.
Well, I will say that in the Under the Banner show, I think a lot of them are Australian or British, because you could, every once in a while, they slip up and a lot of them were fighting that accent.
Has anybody ever, because I kind of have an accent when I get drunk and when I get tired. And then I do say y'all a lot because I did live in Texas for 10 years.
No, I mean, every time I will say, I will agree with Mahana that Americans and they're British, because when I start trying to speak British, it like starts sounding then Jamaican. Like, I don't know where the turn, it goes really wrong. I don't know what happens.
I really desperately want to hear a little bit of it.
Like, because no, now that I'm on the spot, it's going
to
be like
Jamaican?
Weird.
How?
I don't know. Like, it's like, oh, aye, governor. I don't even.
I can hear it.
And
actually,
also, why does
like
it have
that.
To be old timey? I don't know. Immediately, I go old timey too. I don't know why.
I'll say this. I feel like years ago, I used to have like a bit of like a British accent, and people thought I like, you know, that's where I grew up or something. But because mostly when I learned English when I was young, most of my teachers were from the UK. But then I've lived here for 8 years. So that's kind of like, you know, you start to change. And now I'm just like, I just have a mixture of whatever this is. And it's so funny because sometimes like I get asked to like, you know, audition for like stuff. And they're like, obviously, you know, they're very specific to why they asked me to audition. And then they're like, okay, the character has an accent. And then I start talking like I do now. And they're like, not convincing. No, you should have like a, what an immigrant would sound like. I'm like, but I am one. And they're like, but you know what we mean. I'm like, no, I actually do not. I have no idea what you mean, but it sounds a bit racist, but sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Are you watching Selling Sunset, the newest season?
I have not started it yet, no.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, Kiki. All right, well, I have not started either.
When you start, just there is a new black chick. She says she's from London, and I'm sorry. Like, I'm just not buying it. Like, I'm convinced that she has come onto this reality show and decided to create a persona, and I'm just waiting for someone to call her out one day, because I have never heard a British accent like this in my entire life, ever.
You know what? I'll say this. I feel like so many Americans would travel on like these like study abroad programs and stay there for like 5 months and decide that that is their whole personality. Yeah. And they're going to speak in that accent.
I went to Paris for 2 weeks 8 years ago and I can't stop bragging about it still.
People would talk in that accent. People would do it and be like, this is my whole thing now. Especially if they go to the UK and they're like, yeah, I'm just going to talk in a UK accent. And yes, that's like Hilaria Baldwin, or yeah. I don't know how she likes to pronounce her name.
Hilaria Baldwin.
Exactly. She's Hilaria. Like, yeah, I am fully, I'm from Spain. I'm like, you've been to Spain. That's different.
Very different.
Do you think now that Hilaria has been called out, you know, she has named all of her kids like very Spanish names up to this
Fabio,
point.
Pedro,
and now she's pregnant
Juan.
Again. Now that she's been called out, do you think the new kid's going to get a Spanish name?
Yeah, definitely.
Probably, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, part of that is her doubling down. You know what yeah. I mean? Not once was she like, you caught me.
She does not consider herself to be called out. She's just like, you're just like hateful monsters trying to take her culture away that she adapted into. And she's not doubling down. She's embracing her heritage, right, which is different.
Right. You know, I always like, did y'all ever tell any big lies when y'all were growing up? Like, I'm just watching that show. I Love That For You, too. The one with Molly Shannon. And essentially the kind of whole thing of it is just telling like a big lie about yourself. And so this woman essentially lies about having cancer. Mm. Like, did you guys ever tell a lie that just like lasted a really long time? I don't think
you're
so.
Like, no, we're well-adjusted adults. Oh, sorry.
No, I'll say this. I'll say, you know what? And I'm not saying this, hey, I don't lie because I am morally superior or I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Even if I tell the smallest lie, even at, like very harmless, I'm always in fear of getting caught. And my whole life will just like revolve around this thing and just like my life just like unravels in front of me. Even if I was lying, it means nothing.
Yeah, but didn't you tell your siblings that you were their dad? That is a real lie, right?
But that's different though, because I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
You know, like it's not like I do not care. It's just like it's all, but also it's like a lie that has been told to achieve me some peace. And I did, because I'm like 11 years older than my youngest siblings, and they're twins. And, you know.
I like this end justifies the means.
Exactly. And even though 11 years is not that much, but like when you're 21 and they are 10, that seems like a big difference. You know, they look at you and they're like, this man is very old.
Yeah.
So when I tell them that I am actually their dad and we're living with their grandparents, they would believe it.
Yeah.
They would run with it.
Yeah, I get you. I think my big lies were mainly as I was a teenager. I lied about my age a lot when I was a teenager. I was out there getting into a lot of trouble telling, like, I was 15 and 16 years old being like, I'm 22. I can do whatever I want. And then I'd end up in some spicy, saucy situations that I definitely was not supposed to be in.
Well, that's like, I feel like that's, well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty normal. I definitely had a fake ID for 21 when I was 14. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. In Venezuela, you could just kind of drink whenever. We didn't have like a strong aging system in Venezuela. It was more like if you had the money and your head came over the counter, they would just sell you liquor. It was a pretty big free for all. But
You know what? That's so funny. You know, speaking of lies, though, here, like, has any of you watched the show The Americans?
No.
Okay,
I
so
love it. But I know what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, for those who don't know, it's you know, it's about this family, like this couple from the Soviet Union. They move to the U.S. as very young people, and they get married, and they have like kids, and they're like, you know, normal American family back in the like. The show takes place in the 70s and the 80s, before the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they work as spies. And watching it, I'm just like, I could never be a spy.
Why?
Because, first of all, you mean to tell me I pull all of these tricks and like these missions and like accomplish so much and no one gets to know?
I can't tell anyone. He's a stand-up comedian. You would have to tell everyone. Got it.
I can't tell anyone. Like, I would, like, literally just, like, pull, like, the biggest stunt ever, and then I just go home and, like, no one knows about it. Absolutely fucking not. Yeah. That is the same reason I could never be a serial killer. Like, you know?
That's the reason?
Yeah, like, imagine, like, you go on, like, 20 to 30 years without, like, getting caught or whatever, and then you're just, like, sitting there, and you're just, like, everyone is talking about how I'm a fucking genius, and I cannot tell them it's me because that will just ruin everything.
I bet that's how real serial killers feel.
Yeah.
And that's why they just give themselves up.
Exactly. That's why, like, eventually, like, a lot of, like, because, like, you know, it's not because the police is so smart that they caught them. Like, these guys, like, eventually, they just want to be caught. They're just like, I want the world to know that I am the mastermind behind this.
This sounds like so just like, you know, at the end of those like crime movies where it's like they're about to kill the person that's going to take them out, but they have to like explain their whole dastardly plan in detail. That's who serial killers are. They can't get to the end of life. They have to like at some point get caught just so they can write a memoir and let the whole world know.
Yeah. I do think that celebrities are kind of like serial killers in that way too. Cause like they're kind of like living hidden lives in a lot of ways. They're like, they have this like outward persona, AKA the not murderous part. But then inside they have these like weird secret lives where they're doing fucked up shit to each other, AKA being a cannibal or like stuff like that. But they're not necessarily allowed to bring it out because then it'll ruin all of the chances that they have to be in movies. And there's got to be something like pathologically wrong and something really damaging to the psyche to have to be like these two different people, one in public and kind of one in private.
Well, that's why I'm like so shocked to hear all of these like allegations now against Fred Savage. I mean, Fred yeah. Savage was like, hello, the kid from Wonder Years. And now it's like he got fired from the new Wonder Years reboot, where I guess he was executive producer. And now other allegations from his time on the original Wonder Years are coming out. And then apparently there was something from some show called the Grindr or something like that, that he mm-hmm. was on, where he settled some suit there. So I'm like, wait, is Fred Savage a savage? Like, is he
like, Kiki, you did not
is he just
was
not...
I was about to make a joke about the Grindr being like Fred Savage and another man just meeting in the thrills of night for sweet gay love. I hope that that's what that show was about, but it's probably not. It's probably not. I was so surprised too. And his face, like, he doesn't have like a serial killer or like bad guy face. And those are the hardest one. He looks like a very sweet, nice man.
Yeah. He still looks like a kid. He still looks like little Freddie Savage.
I just think, and I said that yesterday when we were texting, I just think that if you were like a child actor, like you grew up in that, like in the entertainment world, you're fucked up in the head. There's no way you're not, because your whole world like view is just weird. And that guy has been famous for since like when?
Forever. I mean, forever. He, you know, yeah.
He's, I can't. I mean, was he a part of like an earlier, was that on Disney or what show? What?
No, Wonder Years was like on prime time, like ABC. Oh. Like it came on like 8 o'clock at night, you sat down with your family, you all watched it together. It was wholesome family fun.
Oh, you know what I'm confusing him with Boy Meets World? I thought Topanga.
No, but that's his brother. That's his little brother. So the whole family, it's another Culkin situation. There's Savages, there's Culkins.
I definitely like wanted to be a child star because I've wanted desperate amounts of attention since I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. But I do think that I'm grateful that maybe that wasn't the chance that happened. Also, how do these children convince their parents to move one city to another? Like when they're very young.
I don't think it takes convincing. Those parents are living vicariously through their children.
Exactly.
And they want to do that.
Most of them are making their children do this. They're just like, they don't want to get real jobs. It's just like they're like kids' managers, basically, not parents. And, you know, that's their whole life. Like, I mean, who's Justin Bieber's mom if she's not, you know, his manager since he was 10 or something?
Yeah. Oh, my mom would be the worst in those environments. She would just say no to like crazy deals. And she'd be like, no. My mom is, I don't know how else to describe her, but like once she gets something in her head, that's it. She's like a King Richard of Hispanic moms. She's like, she's so single-minded in like how she wants to deal with things. I can just imagine her being such a nuisance to producers and probably good, probably in a good way.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. we develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of moms who want to force you to do things, you guys watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes, I finally got to see it yesterday. I am like...
Kiki.
Okay, so before we get into it, just if you haven't watched the movie, first of all, why? Why haven't you watched it yet? We're going to talk about it. I mean, there are going to be spoilers, even though I'll say this, I do not know how to spoil this movie.
Exactly.
It's literally everything everywhere all at once. Like, literally everything happens. So if that's a spoiler, I don't know. It's everything happens.
If you were able to take your dream and, like, put it on paper and have it make sense... Because in your dreams, right, things seem to make so much sense. They seem so cool. But when you wake up, you're like, that's garbage. No, I feel like we were able to take this dream, make it a reality, but it's unexplainable. So, yeah, I don't think there is a way to spoil this movie, really.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I mean, it's a fantastic movie that I have watched 3 times.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've watched it twice now. I will watch it again. I will be up to par.
Well, the people I went with, it was their second time, and they want to see it again too. And so it's because exactly. It is one of those movies that you want to see multiple times because you're just catching things that you just didn't catch the first time. And also, I think as I watch it later, because I'm going to watch it multiple years from now, it will change what I'm tuned into. Because, like, what I was really clued into, like, in this go-around, I feel like if I'd watched it a year ago, would have been way different what I've been clued into, which I thought was also interesting.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I mean, outside of Everything Everywhere All at Once, and most of the cast in the movie is Asian. I mean, it's mm-hmm. about this Asian immigrant mom and her daughter who was born in the U.S. and her husband and their lives. And I mean, like, the movie, so much happens in the movie, but it's at the end of the day, it's about this mom's relationship with her daughter. That's literally what it is and how it progresses and everything. But it's just fucking insane. Like, truly, like, that, like, this, the acting, the stories, the everything is just fucking phenomenal. I honestly think this should be the last movie that contains a multiverse. I feel like that's just...
this is it. Yeah.
Like, you can't do it any better.
No, have you absolutely
heard,
not.
Have you heard about Jamie Lee Curtis, who is like... I follow Jamie Lee Curtis on Instagram, and Jamie Lee Curtis is going off on Doctor Strange 2 and igniting what I can only describe as a multiverse movie feud, where she's going like, fuck the competition. Everything Everywhere is number one in America. We're the best multiverse in the universe. And she's just kind of like... going on her stories and just mad talking shit about Multiverse of Madness.
I mean,
and essentially essentially going like, there's not even a comparison. Thank you for copying our poster. Like, she is going off.
Yeah.
Well, she has every right to.
Absolutely. I just don't think that there is any universe in the multiverse where Doctor Strange is better than Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's just,
there's no way. There's no universe.
Do you think there are like other versions of you in the multi-universe? What do you think they're doing right now?
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's definitely one that kept being active and didn't start smoking pot and actually, like, you know, probably like took their athletic career to a whole new heights, because that was definitely a path I could have taken. There's probably one that did follow their like childhood dream of wanting to be like an actress and, you know, stayed in, you know, in front of the television and, you know, did all of that. Every universe, though, I still think I would be child free by choice. I will say that.
That's the commonality. I think that there's a universe where I'm a very, very taut green grape, and I am so juicy and cold, and I go from being grown on the vine all the way to becoming a raisin, and that is the scope of my life.
That's very specific.
Yeah. I just love grapes, you guys.
I'll say this, and I hate to admit it out loud on a podcast that millions of people listen to. I hate grapes.
What?
I hate grapes so much. I love grape juice.
That is just odd.
I hate grapes.
Like, I've never heard of this.
Like a round grape, just like to eat like this? Jesus.
And you've tried it? Like, you've tried to freeze them. You've tried them in all forms?
I've literally tried everything. Like, I'd rather eat like raisins than eat grapes.
What is it about them you don't like?
Here's the thing. I like grape flavored things. I do not like the grape.
No, that's actually famously bad.
Yeah, that's what is so confusing. Like,
I'm sorry, I'm built different like that. Please respect my culture. It's just something about it.
What do you not like?
I just don't like that it's solid, and then you like squish it, and it's just like so much juice comes out, and it's just like pick a struggle. Like, what is this? Who are you?
Wow.
And is maybe maybe there is a, you know, Muhammad in another universe that just fucking loves grapes, and I'd say that is the worst version of me.
Oh, no. Truly, I have never met a person that doesn't like grapes. I've never met that. I've never known that to be a truth. Because to me, they're the crown jewels of the fruit.
Yeah,
they're,
I'm special.
That mango.
Well, maybe that's why I don't like them. The crown jewel thing does not, you know. I mean, no comments. I'm not going to add to that. But
you've never been one for monarchy. I do something know that about you.
Yeah, something about crowns. Not into it. Even shows named The Crown for no reason whatsoever.
It's
not gonna
true.
Not going to go into detail about that. But speaking about Everything Everywhere All at Once, like we've talked about this a bit in the past, but I mean, my family does not do apologies. Mm. Like my dad would literally talk for an hour before he says he's just sorry. Will never admit to mistakes. And my mom is the same way as well. It's always like, I'm sorry you felt this way. And it's not even like the word I'm sorry, it's just like, did not know I raised you like this to be upset at me.
Now that you say, I actually don't think I expect apologies from my family. Like, I think that if I mess up or if we yell at each other, if something happens, like, we're family and we just move on. I guess it's what in my head. And so it's not like, even though I would expect that of anyone else in my life, with my family, I don't expect apologies. It's just not.
Yeah, I guess my thing is like, I agree with you, and like it's. I guess it's like less about apologies and more about like even like acknowledging that you made a mistake or something was your fault, or like maybe I wish I've done this better or something like anything that is just like even like resembles. That, because like I'll give you an example. Like before I got into like stand-up comedy and writing and all of that, I went to med school for a few years, And the only reason I went to med school is because my parents insisted that this is good for me. It's going to go great. My uncle is a doctor, and like they wanted me to be a doctor and convinced me that this has been my dream since I was a child. And I'm just like, I also wanted to be a cook when I was a child, and I hate cooking.
You're essentially like a medical child actor, and they're your mom and your parents. Okay, got it.
Exactly. And for years, like I spent maybe like 4.5 years in med school. And every year, literally every year, I'm just like, this sucks so much. I hate it. I want to quit.
Oh, no.
And I tell them, like, I'm not, like, and I wasn't doing, like, I was doing so well back in school and everything. I was not doing well, like, grades wise and everything. It was so bad. I hated it so much. And they will just not let me quit. And then one day I just, like, quit by myself. I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to do this shit anymore. And they got mad and everything. And then they got over it. And now that I'm like doing well, like career wise, and I'm happy what I'm doing, they will not acknowledge that me going to med school was a mistake.
Wow. I will say my mom is a pretty good apologizer, honestly. And so is my sister. And I think we do pretty well. I think it's maybe because me and my sister are so whiny and we talk a lot. And so we love to bring up things to our mom. Like, you know, like remember that time you like married a guy like, you know, a month after you divorced our dad. Like, and so she'll be like, okay, granted, you got me there. So there's some like overarching, like fun things that we get to bring up that are pretty black and white in terms of, and now we kind of laugh about some of that stuff, but I do think we apologize as a family. We also get in each other's business a lot and we're constantly sort of like triangulating. So there's plenty of stuff to apologize for here in our little, you know, core nucleus thing.
It's so funny that you get to an age where you're like, first of all, you realize your parents are just people.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh yeah, you literally have no idea what the fuck you're doing. And yeah. then you get to a point you're like, oh, I think I know more than you do. Like I feel like I should give you advice.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be the other way around. Like you do not have handle on these things. And it's so funny because like even like when my mom was just like, she still tries to do this sometimes. You're like, you have no idea what you're talking about. And you're like young and like stuff like that. I'm just like, you were 6 years younger than I am now when you had me.
That's so bizarre. Those thoughts are so bizarre to me. Yes.
Exactly. So you cannot tell me that I had no idea what I'm doing. Because I remember when I was 6 years old, you seemed like you had a handle on things. Even though now I realize you did not. You were just improvising. Yeah. You're just doing improv.
Yeah, just improvising. But that is something that I've talked to my parents about all the time is like they were just kind of going through the rat race. Like they were just doing the next thing that they thought that they were supposed to do.
Absolutely.
With like no tools, no therapy. No, they were raw dogging life with children as essentially teenagers immigrating. I can't even imagine how that family drama pretty quickly turns into like a very strange, like its own little universe too. And everybody kind of has their versions of it.
Especially like if you're like the oldest child where like, oh, you know, God. Like a trial and error. Like I was the iPhone 1 of kids, you know, they're like, it does not respond to touch well. But we'll work on the features. We'll work on the, you know, and by the time they get to the last one, they're like, okay, yes. We kind of nailed this.
Optimized software.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I really love about the Everything Everywhere All at Once, that it talks about that family drama and then it like humanizes the mom and it kind of humanizes like her misery in some ways. Like Absolutely. It's almost like the beginning of the movie, we realize that she's sort of like choosing to be unhappy in many ways, because at the end of the movie all the ingredients are the same, the people are the same, her daughter's there, her husband's there, the laundromat is there, but it is something about like her choice in her approach to her own life that I love about that. And it reminds me that I probably already have everything that I need, all that bullshit, you know, trauma and family stuff included. I just came out of that movie feeling like you can make anything, not just like creatively inspired by like the work of it. I just felt like it was the best movie ever. Maybe is it my favorite movie of all time? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to win every single award. And
I hope so.
Like, I definitely, yeah, if I had a movie, I would just be like, let me just hold off. I'll just submit. We'll just hold off on submitting till next year.
And it's also so funny as well. Like, the Ratatouille thing is so stupid.
It's so stupid. That's the other thing. It just reminds me that, like, they're fighting all of these, like, heavy-ass things with just being fucking goofy and silly and having a good time. And I love that.
And never thought in my life a dialogue between two rocks would make me very emotional.
Crying. I was crying.
Exactly. And it was like a motivational in a weird way, because it was just like, yeah, we're small and stupid and that's our whole thing. And I'm just like, yeah, we are small and stupid and that's our whole thing. Literally, just like nothing. It's like, it's kind of like, I mean, obviously the message is like whatever you want to take from it, but it's like, it made nothing matters into a positive thing.
It did. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
All I know is when I eventually get audited, I hope that when I punch my auditor, that it turns out the way it does for Jamie and Evelyn.
You become best friends with your auditor.
Yes. And they let
me go. Or lesbians with your auditor.
Yeah. Either way, as long as I get out of this audit.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager, and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrush are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're just going to move on to my favorite segment that we do every episode of this podcast, which is, as you know it, Sorry Not Sorry, where we either demand an apology or we apologize to someone. And like every week, I'm going to start with Oha. What's happening?
I need to apologize to my partner, Rachel. Rachel, this is for you directly. I'm sorry. I do realize that I've been taking about 3/4 of our entire king-size bed up. I have what I counted now as 13 full-size pillows, of which 7 of them are king-size pillows. And I have a pillow essentially for every extremity in every part of my body.
13 pillows?
Yeah. Yeah.
How
is
that possible?
It's pathological. There's something wrong with me. I'm sorry. And then the other day, she walked into the bed and I had taken her 2 small pillows while I was half asleep because I felt I still needed more.
And you needed 15 pillows.
I needed 15 full-size pillows. And she woke me up and she said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Give me my pillows back. And I did. I woke up and gave them back to her.
I just don't even know where you put all these pillows while you're sleeping.
Just under my body in different crevices and nooks.
Every day I learn something new from you. That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Well, Kiki, what's going on with you this week?
Well, Oha might have to dole out the apologies because this week I think Oha owes me an apology.
What did I do?
Well, you know, Oha was in town. She was in LA. And, you know, which I love. I love Oha. I love being able to see her and hang out with her. And, you know, I had just kind of moved into my new place, but not really, because not all my furniture's here. So it was like half moved in. And, you know, I've been like deep into the Johnny Depp trial. And I said, like, let's hang out. But like, I'm not going to be very I'm not going to do anything. I'll be staring at a computer recording things. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we can just eat and hang out and we can watch the trial. I'm like, perfect. Sounds great. And there's nothing else in my house, in which I should apologize for, but there's nothing else to really entertain her except just me sitting there recapping a trial. And so she comes and then she's like, has her lunch. I'm like, perfect. She's entertained. She's eating. And then I guess she got a little sleepy because, you know, she likes her sleep. And so then she passes out on the couch, but then starts snoring. So then I can't really record because I have to like record my computer.
It's so but there embarrassing.
Is everything I'm recording has a snore in the background. So I'm like, all right, well, we're just going to use text today. It's fine. This is my friend. She's tired. I'm a snorer. I get it. You can't help yourself, right? So then she's like, oh, man, I got to pee. So she, like, goes to the bathroom, like, maybe I can get some, like.
Kiki, you're ruining my life.
So she's like, got to go pee. But I don't have, like, a huge toilet. It's just, like, you know, one of those, like, very, like, low flow toilets. But I think she uses a lot of toilet paper because we know her pillow game is probably, like, her toilet paper game. She's probably, like, all the toilet paper in the world. And so then it clogged the toilet, which is fine because I have another toilet. What I didn't have was a plunger. So I had to, like, get a plunger from Target. And it was fine. It was just pee, yeah. Guys. Just pee and lots of toilet paper. It was fine. And then she went home.
Oh my God. This episode is not my best. This episode, truly, it's not my best. I just want to say that this is the first time we've solicited apologies from each other. And I will never apologize to you for that. I will never say it. It doesn't matter how much you ask me. I will never apologize for this.
That's fine. Because like I said, family doesn't need to apologize.
That's right. That's right, Kiki. Also, one more faux pas. I told her that I was bringing champagne and then I forgot it.
Oh, yeah. I could have just said that part. But I decided to go with all the other parts.
That's okay. I live in honesty and I live in truth and radical truth and honesty. And this feels like, honestly, payback.
Nope, no payback. But yeah, you will destroy me one day and I know it. Yeah. I'm ready for it.
I'm ready.
That is incredible. I love that so much. Well,
what about you, Mo? What have you got to say?
I don't know how to follow up with this. Well, I'll say this: I'm obviously demanding an apology, and not for me, but for the whole nation.
Oh, I love that.
And for us too. But I have been sent this post that was posted on Instagram by. No one but the infamous TSA. The TSA posted on their Instagram a picture of a couple who were going on vacation, and they are at Reno, Nevada's airport. And after they passed the security check, while they were both not wearing their shoes and just like fucking like, you know, like traveling clothes and everything, the man goes on one knee and proposes.
Oh, God.
At the TSA security check line.
Oh, no.
First of all, you're going on vacation. Could you not have waited?
Yeah.
I'm imagining it like a tropical vacation. It's Florida. I don't care. There's a beach. There's sunset. There's a restaurant that you can go to. You decided to propose at the most disgusting place at the airport, the security check line.
An emotionally depraved area.
Yeah. Obviously, you're going to ask, you know, the question, are they... Yes, they are. Of course. Of course they are. What do you even think? Like, someone like me would not. Like, imagine me, Mohanna Del Sheikhi, just being like, you know what? I'm going to do this at the TSA. At the TSA, I'm paying full attention. I'm not going to take a knee at the TSA. I'm not even going to tie my shoes at the TSA.
You are getting tackled and arrested.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that I just pass by. Yeah. thank God now I travel with my ID, which is like a less of a hassle. You know, I have my driver's license. I travel with it. But before I got my ID, I used to use my Libyan passport. And my Libyan passport mostly was, it's mostly written in Arabic, except the like last pages, that's where the translation is. So you're supposed to go there and like read it, and you'll find the information that you need. And I give my I give the TSA agents my passport, and this is in Montana, a state in the United States, one of the 50. And I'm traveling, and I give them my passport, and the TSA agent looks at it, and he spends so much time. He spends so much fucking time looking at that passport, just going through the pages. And then I am just like, hey, man, let me help you. And he's like, no, I know my job. Don't stop talking. I got this. And then he calls another TSA agent, who I assume the TSA manager. And he comes in, and they're both looking at the passport, and I'm just trying to tell them what's happening. Two things happening here. First of all, they're holding the passport upside down, which is... I'm like, and even if they flip it, it's still Arabic. It's not going to change. It's not going to translate once you change the position of that passport. And I'm just trying to tell them, just go to the last page. That's where my name is written in the language here. You cannot look at Arabic for so long that you will start to understand what's happening.
Right.
And then eventually I just say, look at the last page. Just look, open the final page.
You say it real quick before they shush you.
And then they do, and then they're like, oh, look at this. It was right there. No, the you spent 20 minutes. It's been 20 minutes. I have this passport my whole life, let me tell you. And then they were like, okay, sounds good. You can go. Enjoy your trip. You ruined it. But anyway, those couple chose that they want to tie the knot there.
Get engaged. Exactly. Can you imagine loving someone so much that you cannot wait one more second to ask them to marry you?
That's a really positive way to look at it. I mean,
I can imagine hating someone so much that you would do this to them.
Yeah. Yeah, because I thought there was nothing worse than like a Jumbotron proposal, but this definitely...
Yeah, TSA takes it.
And like, you just like, it feels like a hostage situation because you are in TSA. You can't really act up too much, so like it feels like you're gonna say yes and just keep it moving, right? You
know? Exactly. Honestly, if I was her years from now, when this is not does not work for obvious reasons, I'd wait until like we are like at like LaGuardia Airport and just serve him divorce papers there.
That's good.
Yeah,
it definitely has to be LaGuardia. Definitely.
Exactly. I mean, I can't think of a worse airport, so it has to be. It has to be that.
To really, really seal the deal, just make it Penn Station. Like, not even take a plane. Let's do it. Ugh. In hell, pure hell.
Exactly. Absolutely. But that's who I'm demanding an apology from. And so this is sorry, not sorry. But last week, we announced that we're going to start like featuring Sorry Not Sorry from you, our listeners, on this show, which we host. So we started asking people, and we said, hey, you can email us at imsorry@laminatamedia.com, or you can DM us on Instagram. And this week we did get an email that was very interesting that Oha's going to read for us. Oha, first of all, who sent us the email?
So Geneva sent us the email. Thank you, Geneva, for writing in. And she's got a really interesting situation going on. So she says, her first quote is, I refuse to apologize to Santa. So she is refusing an apology, essentially. And I'll tell you why. So she said, or rather, to the families who are offended that I will not perpetuate the Santa lie to my young kids. She says that she, you know, that others consider it cruel to rob her intelligent 3 and 5-year-old daughters of the Santa experience, that it's somehow mean to refuse to pretend that a mysterious, voyeuristic, judgmental criminal trespasser somehow brings individualized toys to every single Christian only, plus the non-believers who do it for fun. So to her, essentially, she's saying that it is problematic and that more problematic than people are willing to admit to let your kids believe in Santa, who's been around and doing the job since, I guess, everyone's grandparents were around. So essentially, she's She just doesn't she wants to say fuck everybody who believes that she's a bad mom for not wanting to perpetuate the Santa lie. So thank you, Geneva. What are you guys' thoughts on Geneva's quandary, on Geneva's writing?
I think it is. I mean, look, it is a weird thing when you have to learn that your parents are liars. The first like really important people in your life, and like everything they've ever told you from the time you were born was a lie. It is like a gut. I remember how gut-wrenching it was the first when I found out.
I feel like my mom lied to me about all sorts of things all the time. big liar. Santa Claus just felt like one more thing in the bucket that I wasn't told about. There was a lot of like, I remember this lie. One is sex will kill you. That was a fun one. Drugs will kill you. That was another one. There was definitely virgins can't put tampons in. There was a lot of, Catholic lies that have gone around in my family. And so Santa not existing, I was like, well, this feels easy. This feels like not as complex as all the other ones that they're throwing at me.
That feels like your memoir, all the Catholic lies my mama told me.
Right.
I'd read it.
I'm trying to think of other lies. There were white lies. There were big lies. But I think those were the ones that stuck around the longest.
I think what's so funny is like the strong emotions towards Santa. Mm-hmm. he's not real. I feel like.
Well, I'm an American, so you better not touch my Christmas or my Santa, okay?
Oh, make that a white Santa.
White Santa. Don't you come near my Christmas time.
Like, here's the thing. How about instead of being like, Santa does not exist and Santa is not real and fuck Santa, you could tell your kids that you are Santa.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And not only do you bring them gifts, you also bring gifts to everyone else.
And you raise your profile.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We can finally have the first woman president that way. Because in a way, Santa is the president. You know, like he's...
Yeah.
He definitely has more power than Joe Biden. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but, agreed. Yeah. So, with a wildly better approval rating, for sure.
Exactly, because he's not the president of America. He's the president of the globe. He controls everything.
Yeah.
And then years from now, when they're older, and they're like, Mom, you're not Santa, and you're like, well, I retired now, obviously.
And you keep the lie going forever.
Yeah, and if you don't want to believe that I'm Santa, pay me back for every gift that I gave you.
And you know what, Mo? I do think that if you did have kids, I think that you would, I mean, according to your own words, you would not be able to perpetuate the Santa lie because you would stress out about it a lot. Do you think that that's accurate?
Oh, I grew up in a Muslim family. Santa was not part of our, I mean... It's something that I watched and I was like, cool, I guess. When I was a kid, I was like, I guess he's real.
Did you have any version of that growing up? Like any version of Santa or some like, I mean, I guess religiously affiliated, but this is a little, this Santa feels different, you know?
Yeah, Santa is not, to me, is not a religious figure. If anything, Santa is you know, really believes in socialism.
I like.
He's all about sharing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's all about sharing, and he's mm-hmm. all about, you know, taxing the rich. He's like, they're bad. I'm just going to give them coal, which is, you know, I feel like the coal part is also something he needs to work on, because I'm like, technically, rich people fucking love coal. That's their whole thing. That's how they make
it's
money.
True.
So maybe like replace it with something else. I don't know. Biodegradable wood.
So you think Santa is pro-union, socialist?
Absolutely. I mean, the elves are like unionized. They have like their union.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's more of a board than anything, really. Like they can vote Santa out if they want to. They just choose not to.
He's not doing it for them.
Because they love the job. They love the work. We all know it. Like we've never heard the elves like complain. You know, I think Santa is the good version of Amazon.
Wow.
Mm.
You know, like everyone is happy mm-hmm. there. You can pee as much as you want to. It's great.
I do love that idea.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Geneva, for writing in. I believe that you are well-merited. You don't have to pretend that Santa exists for your children, but maybe you do want to give them another socialist icon.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yor, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Freedom! Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Scott Aukerman, and together we make up the show Freedom! Freedom is a show where the three of us, who are comedians and also friends, we all just hang out, we tell stories about each other, about ourselves, usually.
We're constantly telling stories about each other.
You got it, Paul did.
And we play games, and we laugh a lot. It's just that simple. It's a really easy podcast.
This is a pretty good representation of the show.
It's actually exactly what it is, plus singing.
So listen to it now. The new season's out. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Just go outside and scream freedom!
Just like we do.
Freedom! Freedom! Freedom!